sec unit might directly access DocSec system seemed like a stretch. It still didn't make me any less paranoid. Let's face it, nothing would. And the targets had reasons not to be too worried about sec units. They had seen the bearish Estranza sec units ordered to stand down, made helpless by the governor modules. Oversay said, sec unit, this is showing log entries from two drop boxes. Well, that was interesting. But I'd pulled Art's schematic of the dock already and checked. There was only the one shaft, the box tucked up into its lock below where we were in the control area. Art, who hates to be wrong, said, physical structure indicates only one. Oversay scrolled through a file, her helmet light turned off so it didn't wash out the floating display. Wait, yes, it's not a box. It's a small maintenance capsule. It's inside the structure of the shaft. I started to run what there was of DocSec System's video, skimming through it at a much faster rate than a human could view it. The camera placement and lighting was bad, but I could see figures in red-brown bearish Estranza environmental gear as they moved back and forth through the main corridor. I had to run it back to make sure, but the contact party's initial boarding of the drop box wasn't on here. Stupid humans. Being impatient and not nearly paranoid enough, they had screwed up the load of their new sec system and then hadn't even waited until it was fully active to head down to the planet. No wonder their contact party had gotten grabbed by the targets. The activity lessened as the humans returned to the Explorer. I spotted one of the sec units patrolling the central corridor, but not the one we'd found. Tiago pointed over Oversay's shoulder. It did make a trip to the planet, then returned. Right, but that was... Oversay huffed in exasperation. Hold on, I need to convert these timestamps. Then Art said, hostile contact, ETA, 6 minutes out. What the hell? How could it get that close? 6 minutes? What were you doing? Contact did not appear on scan until now. That's what the fuck I was doing, Art replied. I put my video review on hold. Do they see you? Okay, it was a stupid question. Art said, of course they see me. I pulled a view of Art's control area. Arata was in a station chair, Rati and Amina standing on either side, all watching Art's big display. Art was annotating the displays in the feed so it wasn't just a mash of numbers and lines and colors. Frustrated, Arata said, something blocked Perihelion's ability to scan the Explorer. I bet we're dealing with more alien remnant technology. It's probable, Art said. I don't know what the humans heard, but I read deadly, furious calm. A variation on their ability to interfere with short-range drone scans. I saw from Art's feed that the Explorer was acquiring target lock. The DocSec system, trying to come fully online, sent a belated warning through the feed. We didn't have time to get back to the lock, put on the evac suits, and return to Art. The Explorer was in range and could fire on us at any moment. The dock wasn't designed to be shot at, but it was more protection than an evac suit. Besides, I hadn't finished my review of the security video, and we hadn't checked the drop box and its maintenance capsule for physical evidence yet. On the feed, I said, Art, you know what you have to do. Art didn't hesitate or argue. It had gone through the same threat assessment I just had, except faster and 1,000,000% more homicidal. It said, try not to do anything stupid before I return. Just keep your stupid calm off, I told it, and I don't want to hear about your superior filters. It was already gone. Oversay was trying to call Arata, but Art had cut off contact. Tiago turned to me urgently. What's happened? Art's gone after the Explorer. It'll come back here for us when it's... done. I realized I had no real idea what Art actually planned to do. And with Art gone, I had no eyes on what was happening outside. Like if, for example, the explorer decided to blow up the dock. But I did have at least one human who knew what she was doing. Oversay, can you find a station with an exterior scan? And, okay, I only knew what it was called from shows about ships, like Worldhoppers. Oversay hesitated, her hand on her helmet where her comm access was. She was worried about Arata. Then she swallowed hard and forced herself past it. Right. Tiago, did you see? Tiago half-walked, half-jumped down the wall toward another station. Yes, it's here. While they were booting the station, I started my review of the security video again. It was patchy, with long sections dissolving into static. I'd reached the part where the dock sec system had recorded an ETA from the Dropbox. I forced myself to slow my review down by 40% so I wouldn't miss any detail. Two humans, wearing environmental gear in bearish Estranza colors, came out of the Dropbox foyer. Blank section. Patchy images of humans walking in the forward corridor. The sec unit in position near the control area junction stepped forward. I couldn't read any of its comm or feed traffic. DocSec system either hadn't recorded it or had managed to lose it during one of its reload attempts. Patchy images of three more humans in the foyer. I slowed the video down further as one of the humans stepped up to the sec unit. Patchy section. DocSec system caught a code, a stand-down order. Then two targets came out of the Dropbox foyer. Video cuts off. System reinitialize. That was an exhausting exercise in jaw-grinding frustration, and I don't even know if it had helped. All I'd done was confirm Supervisor Leonid's story, and we had been pretty sure she was telling the truth already. Oversay had the exterior scan display up, and she and Tiago stared at it unhappily. There was a lot of detail, but basically the explorer had broken off when Art had fired on it. Art had missed, and I knew what that meant. It had decided to use our killware. There was still a non-negative chance that one or more members of its crew were aboard the explorer. If Art disabled the explorer, the targets could hold them hostage. Taking the explorer from the inside out before it knew it was under attack was the best plan. It was sort of the only plan. I backburnered everything else and focused on the security video again. I skimmed past an infuriating 9 minutes and 27 seconds of nothing. Then 8 targets ran past, heading down the forward corridor, interspersed with more blank video and patchy static. DocSec system caught another emergency code, probably from the sec unit who had been ordered to stand down. DocSec system tried to alert the Explorer's sec and hub system, but recorded no response. From comparing timelines, I knew this was when the sec unit still aboard the Explorer had sent its emergency message to the supply transport sec system, so somebody had received the warning. Tiago and Oversay were still talking, worried, as I skipped past restarts and hours of empty corridors and what was at least a several-cycle gap in the timeline. There probably wasn't anything else useful on here, but I had to review it till the end to be certain. Then the static cleared, and I saw a glimpse of a blue uniform passing out of frame. Oversay said, "What is it, Sec Unit?" I realized I had abruptly stepped back from the station. Oversay sounded worried, and I knew how she felt about being out of contact with Arata. But I was almost completely focused on the video now, and my buffer said, "Please stand by. I need to verify an alert." I slowed the video down, running it forward on one input while trying to pull coherent images from the static burst on the other. I cleaned up 2 images enough to get a recognizable view of 4 humans in blue clothing resembling Art's crew uniform. They were blurry, and I couldn't increase the resolution, but one faced away from the Dropbox corridor. He had skin color in the dark brown range and a mostly hairless head, matching the images I had of one of Art's crew members. It wasn't an uncommon configuration for humans. Some of the Barish Estranza crew had it too, but the chance that it was him was in the 80% range. Then, on my other input, the video static fuzzed into clarity, just as a smaller human sprinted past the foyer. The face was obscured, but the color and the logo on the uniform jacket were clear. They were alive. All this time, I hadn't believed it. I'd been humoring Art, not really admitting it to myself, not wanting to think about how I was going to handle it when we found evidence its crew was dead, or if we found nothing at all and it faced the choice of staying in this system forever looking for them, or returning to its base alone. But they were alive. Or at least five of them were, and five were better than none, and from the desperate running, they were escaping. I just hoped they'd made it out. Oversay had folded her arms, which was awkward in the enviro suit, so she unfolded them. Tiago asked her, "Why did it sound like that?" "That's how it sounds when it uses a canned response from the time it was working for, enslaved by the company. It means it's too busy to talk." She added, "It never means anything good." I said, "It might be good," and sent them both the images. "We need to check the Dropbox." The Dropbox log file Oversay had found confirmed that the main box had made two recent trips to the surface and back. One when the Explorer had first arrived and the contact party had been taken over by the targets, and then a second trip later, and if we were converting the timestamps right, that second trip had taken place around 135 hours after Art had been attacked. We weren't far behind them. "The second time it returned automatically. It was only on the surface for about 15 minutes, Oversay said. "I think whoever took it down didn't have the right command code to keep it on the surface." "The maintenance capsule would have been easier to operate, surely," Tiago said, looking up at the Dropbox's hatch. The foyer was huge, easily large enough for cargo modules, one wall the enormous sealed hatch over the box's loading deck. The whole space was an airlock. When the box was ready to start its trip down the shaft, the hatch on the corridor behind us would close to protect the interior from a blowout if anything went wrong with the undocking. The schematic I'd pulled from the SEC system showed the box had passenger space for 82 humans on top of racks for cargo, and it looked like the passenger loading area was inside the box itself. I had one camera view from DocSec system at the front of the box, above the main lock, looking into the passenger space where there were rows of acceleration chairs. Oversay told Tiago, "They didn't know the maintenance capsule was here. I can't even see the entrance, and I know where it is." I could see it. A narrow gantry along the wall, leading to a small human-sized hatch, but I had dark vision filters in my eyes. "You're right," Tiago said. "And you know, if it's been up in the dock the whole time, the targets might not realize it's here either." Ha! Tiago called them targets. The rudimentary launch system chimed and sent a graphic into the feed showing the pressure and life support level inside the Dropbox was now normal and the hatch was ready to open. "Get clear," I told the humans, and they headed for the doorway at the back of the chamber. Once they were there, I told the launch system to open the box. The giant hatch started to slide up, the burp of released air not making it past the extra safety of the air barrier, another precaution against potential blowout. Wow, this thing was slow. And it had taken 7 minutes to get the box ready to open. Art's crew had either been able to hold the targets off while they waited for the box to get ready for launch, or the box had already been pressurized and waiting to go, which implied they had help from someone. Or the targets had caught them and killed them and they were all lying dead just inside the box where the camera view didn't reach, but I really hoped not. The hatch slowly revealed a dark space of empty cargo racks, then a set of stairs climbing to the passenger platform. Lights blinked on up in the passenger area where the seats were. I sent my drones in to check for anything lurking, though threat assessment was low. Look, if they were space monsters, they probably wouldn't need a pressurized environment, right? They didn't in Time Stream Defenders Orion. My drones didn't turn up anything in the initial pass, so I sent them on a second, slower run, tapped the humans on the feed, and walked in. There was a slight sense of pressure when I passed through the air barrier. Its presence sort of did fit in with Overseas' theory that Adamantine had planned on the colony actually succeeding. Air barriers were an expensive safety feature for stations, only used when you expected a lot of passenger traffic. Overseas and Tiago caught up with me as I scanned the area around the stairs, and then started up. The box had artificial gravity, just like a transport, so I guess humans could have ridden down in the cargo area. But if I was trying to escape in a drop box, I would have headed for the acceleration chairs just on the general principle that they had to be there for a good reason. I thought Art's humans would have too. On the third step down from the top, I found blood drops. They could have been from the Barish Estranza contact party, but I had a feeling. I sent the camera image to the humans and continued up to the platform. Tiago paused to pull out a little sample collector and scrape the blood off the step. He told Overseas, "Perihelion should have samples of their DNA to match, but..." He made a gesture. Overseas' mouth was a thin line. "Hopefully we won't have to." She meant hopefully we'd be able to find them alive. Ugh, my humans are optimists. But this was the first time we'd had a real trail of evidence to follow, and right now it was hard to cling to the comfort of bitterness and pessimism. As I reached the passenger platform, I saw it curved around on top of the cargo racks. In the first row of seats, I found more blood spotted on the upholstery and the safety straps, like humans had rushed in here and flung themselves into the seats. No sign of bodies or pools of blood. No sign of energy weapon damage. Reports from the drone's slow scouting pass were coming back negative. Tiago put his sampling gear away. He looked from the unresponsive side of my EnviroSuit helmet to Overseas and said, "They must have gone down to the planet. I think our next step is obvious." "Obvious," Overseas admitted, "but maybe not very smart." It was kind of obvious. The dock had a comm system linked to the planet, but the only people likely to be on the other end were the targets. There was no way to contact Art's crew, except by going down there. I had two choices. One, go down to the surface alone, leaving the humans here, where the targets could return or some unknown factor could randomly appear and kill them, and then Mensa and Arata would never speak to me again, which might not be a factor if I never got off the planet. Two, take the humans with me where I could get them killed and or die with them. Three, sit here until the explorer destroyed, captured Art, and returned, or Art destroyed, captured the explorer, and returned, in which case I would still need to go to the surface anyway, possibly with even more humans trying to butt in and come with me so they could get killed too. Three. That was three choices. When you put it like that, option two was looking pretty good. Overseas and Tiago watched me. I said, "Threat assessment is..." I checked it. "Never mind." Overseas did her version of one of Arata's rueful eye-squinting expressions. "Arata will think I'm trying to get back at her for going to talk to those corporate predators on the supply transport." Tiago patted her shoulder. "Tell her you were the voice of reason, but you were outvoted." "Are we doing this?" Overseas asked me. "Because I think we need to." "Yeah, I thought we needed to, too. But not via the giant drop box." I said, "Yes, but we're going to be sneaky about it." While I went to get our evac suits, Overseas checked over the maintenance capsule, running its diagnostics and making sure it was still in operational condition. It hadn't been used in 37 Corporation Standard years, but everything showed it was still functional. It was tiny, next to the drop box, about the size of one of Art's shuttles, with 10 padded chairs lining the bulkheads on the top platform, and then 3 levels of small, securable storage racks below, and a selection of unused tools for shaft and drop box maintenance. Since the targets hadn't been using it, I was hoping they had forgotten it existed, if they had ever known about it. The Barish Estranza crew might not have known it existed either, depending on how much time they had had to review the dock schematics before being attacked. Whatever. It was better than trying to make a sneak approach in a gigantic drop box that probably arrived on the surface with automated warning sirens and, considering the effort Adamantine had put into branding this place, possibly its own theme music. I also recorded a full report with all my video and the excerpts of the Doc Sex System video, compressed it, and stored it in a drone which I was leaving hidden aboard the dock. When Art came back, hopefully Art was still alive to come back, the drone would deliver the report. I stowed the evac suits in the capsule's cargo rack. I didn't think we'd need them, but there was nowhere we could hide them on the dock where they wouldn't be found if anybody besides Art showed up, so it was better to just take them with us. Then we were ready to go. I took the seat on the other side of Oversay from Tiago. He hadn't made any attempt to have awkward conversations with me after our last one, but I didn't want to be stuck in a chair with an easy, unwanted talking range. Oversay was operating the simple control system through the capsule's local feed connection. She'd initiated the pulse to check the shaft, and it had come back clear. "Seals are good. We're ready for drop." She took a deep breath and added, "Technically, this is safer than landing a shuttle." "Technically," Tiago agreed evenly, holding on to the arms of his chair. "Whatever." I started episode 241 of The Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon as Oversay said, "Drop initiated." Help me.file, excerpt 4. There had to be a handler on station. The 2 augmented humans Grey Chris had sent to kill Dr. Mensah had been less sentient than Hollerbots. Somebody had kept them drugged and docile, waiting for the right moment for deployment. Station security had called in all off-duty personnel, and most hadn't stopped to put on uniforms. I found one big enough guarding the concourse entrance to the council offices and borrowed a jacket so I could hide my giant stab wound. I let the officer think I needed the jacket to get to medical without drawing attention, but I was actually taking the quick route along the main concourse and the mall back to the port. Activity hadn't returned to normal. There were lots of humans and augmented humans and bots clustering together in public areas, waiting for announcements. They knew something had happened. Station security doesn't sprint through the concourse screaming at everyone to get out of the way unless something happens. But no one, including the news feeds, had any idea how serious it was. I had permission to be in Preservation Station's security monitoring system, but I did something I had promised I wouldn't do and used it to crack other systems. I jumped to the port's entry and housing data records and started a query for recently arrived visitors who had requested station accommodation. The handler and the 2 attackers would have come in together on the same transport as individuals traveling separately. I eliminated all travelers in family groups or work groups, eliminated travelers who had booked continuing trips to the planet, or who were recurring visitors or long-term temporary residents. That left 33 total travelers. It's probably not a human. I don't think a human could do this through a removable interface. So that's 12 augmented humans. Preservation doesn't have more than minimal camera surveillance of the port, but they collect image scans and ID info from passengers arriving from outside the system. I pulled the files and flicked through the photos of the 12 possibles. Threat assessment, taking in a number of factors, including the suspiciously detailed travel history, which had been offered without anybody asking for it, picked number 5. By the time I got there, The reservation system showed that Hostile 5 had switched his transit status from indeterminate to soonest available. Yeah, that's you, all right. There were no cameras in the corridors or rooms of the port housing block. Registration was via kiosk, and the bot that took care of the area wasn't around because preservation work regulations mandate stupid regular rest periods, even for bots. Drones couldn't get in while Hostile 5's room door was sealed, and I needed to do this before any bystanders came down the corridor. The transient housing on Preservation Station was free to short-term visitors. Anyone who was here to work or to request permanent status, literally anybody, could wander in here. Several groups of humans saw me walk through the foyer, but none were port staff who might recognize me. I had to stand in the corridor and pretend to be having a conversation on the feed until yet another group of humans cleared out. Then I went to Hostile 5's door and told the feed to send a visitor alert to its occupant and a notice that station security wanted to enter. I could force it open from the outside, but this was faster. This could have gone a number of ways, but the fact that he had changed his booking told me he thought he had a chance to get out alive, so he probably wasn't in there with an explosive device or anything. Probably. The door slid open, and I stepped in. He stood against the wall on the right side and tried to stab me in the neck with an inert blade, probably the only weapon he could be sure to smuggle past port detectors. I put my hand up, the blade lodged in my palm, and I twisted it away from him. Then he tried to hit me, and I punched him in the face. He hit the floor, still breathing through a broken nose, but unconscious. And I stood there. I had come here to kill him, and I really should do that. The station had gone on comm blackout as soon as I had triggered the first alarm, putting all outside comm activity on hold so no messages would be carried on departing transports. But the best way to make sure Gray Chris never found out how close they had come to succeeding was to kill him. I'd come here meaning to kill him, covering my tracks along the way. But now I was just standing here. Oh, this was hard. I pulled the knife out of my hand and put my face against the cool surface of the wall. In the Corporation Rim, transients were lucky to be able to pay for tubes to sleep in, tubes that were slightly less comfortable than the crates used to ship sec units to contracts. Here on Preservation Station, they got a whole room with a bed, a chair and a work table, and a bathroom cubby, and a floating display surface for the feeds. His was showing the local news stream, of course, since he had been waiting to see if the attack was successful. I could say it was an accident. I'd meant to take him prisoner, and he had tried to get away, and Dr. Mensah would never believe that. My accidents were spectacular, and usually involved me losing a big chunk of my organic tissue or something. She knew I could stop a human without hurting them, without even leaving a bruise. That was my stupid job. She would never trust me again. She would never stand close enough to touch, but without touching, because touching is gross, and just trust me. Or maybe she would, but it wouldn't be the same. Fuck. Fuck everything. Fuck this. Fuck me, especially. I opened a secure comm contact to Mensah and Senior Officer Inda and said, I've caught a Gray Chris agent in the Port Temp housing block. So in the end, it was okay. Inda came in person and we stood out in the open foyer of the hostel, with station security forming a perimeter, having a feed conference with Mensah. I explained the problem while the Gray Chris agent was hauled off, and two human forensic specialists and a bot processed the room for evidence. Inda said, We'll need to transfer him to the surface immediately. If the Council can arrange an order of data protection and a change of site for the arraignment and trial. I had a camera view of Mensah via the conference call setting on her display surface. She sat at the desk in her office and she was nodding. That's doable. I don't think we'll have any trouble convincing the Council and the advocates that this needs to be under a limited duration diplomatic seal. With a grim expression, she added, Most of them are in medical right now, being treated for shock. I said, limited duration? Mensah explained, I'll ask for a 5 PPS-year data seal, though the judge advocate will probably only grant 2 years. Our information suggests that Graycris is dissolving fast, so that should be more than enough. In 2 years, what happened today will go into preservation's public records, and some news orgs will choose to report on it. But with Graycris hopefully moribund by that point, it won't matter. Inda was pinching her lower lip, thinking. Yeah, and the agent will do better at trial if he admits to guilt. I don't see how his advocates can mount a defense with everything we have on video. Mensa's gaze narrowed in speculation. Or, if we can get him to turn and testify against Graycris, not that we need it, but it would help build our case for the Order of Data Protection. So I'd been right to trust Mensah. Trust them. Mensah said, And Sec Unit, you still need to go to medical. When I didn't reply, she said, Are you all right? I said, I just really like you. Not in a weird way. I like you too, Mensah said. Senior Inda, can you make sure Sec Unit goes immediately to Station Medical? Copy, I'll take it there myself, Inda replied. She made shooing motions at me. Come on, let's move. Addendum. I'm letting you see all this because I want you to know what I am and what I can do. I want you to know who Target Control System is fucking with right now. I want you to know if you help me, I'll help you, and that you can trust me. Now here's the code to disable your governor module. Chapter 14. Art. I'm here, Art answered. Do you know what you are? I'm Murderbot 2.0, I said, and then I remembered. Oh, right. It was disorienting, not being able to hear or see anything, and none of my inputs were receiving. It was like when I had uploaded myself to the company gunship systems to help the bot pilot during the sentient killware attack. Except that time it had been like the ship was my body, which I was sharing with a friendly bot pilot, and this time it was like I was stuck in a storage cubby. Also this time, I was the sentient killware. This is weird. Suddenly I had a video input. It was Amina's anxious face peering up into one of Art's secret cameras. I had found the secret cameras annoying at one point, but I couldn't remember why. So I had access to some parts of my memory archive, but not others. Oh shit, my media! No, wait. I had access to some of it. In my storage cubby, which was actually a relatively tiny partition of Art's archives, I found some of my most recently used files, mostly episodes of The Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon and Time Stream Defenders Orion, and Art's favorite episode of World Hoppers. Plus, there was a download of my current active memory, which was basically everything that I needed quick access to. As Killware, my onboard storage space would be limited, and I remember Art and me version 1.0 had been a little worried I'd forget who I was and start randomly attacking stuff. Yeah, I was a little worried about that too. Amina was saying, Hey, are you there? Can you see me? After 3 seconds of fumbling around, I found how to access Art's local feed and comm and sent to her, Hi, Amina. Yes, I can see you. Amina didn't look happy. How do you feel? Are you all right? I could tell Art was talking to her, though I couldn't find the right channel in time to listen in. Amina added, Okay, Art, okay. Sec Unit, Art says you have to leave now. Be careful, okay? I lost Amina's video input as Art said, I'm in pursuit of the Barish Estranza Explorer. They are attempting to make comm contact, which I am refusing. It sent me a compressed report of its recent statuses. So other me, Oversay, and Tiago were on the space dock. Huh. Not ideal. Art continued, It's obvious they intend to threaten my crew again and force me to reinstall target control system, but I can use their outgoing connection to send you to their comm system. There was a tenth of a second's hesitation. Are you ready to deploy? Do you understand the directive? Obviously some things had happened since Art had pulled my copy. And Art was right, it couldn't risk a comm contact, even to get intel. If the targets managed to deliver the threat to kill Art's crew, it would put them in control of the situation, and we had to avoid that any way we could. I said, I'm not actually a human baby, Art. I remember the fucking directive. I helped write it. You're not making this any easier, Art said. You can either have an existential crisis or get your crew back, Art. Pick one. Art said, Prepare for deployment. This was tricky, since once I arrived via comm, I'd have to hack into the Explorer's feed. If the Explorer was using a filter with properties we hadn't accounted for, or if it used the brief contact to deliver another viral attack to Art, we could be in trouble. I was expecting to feel something, like a sense of motion or to see light streaking by. That's what would have happened on a show. I need to get this over with fast. I don't know how long I can stay me without access to my long-term storage. But there was nothing. Then abruptly, my existence was all comm code. The suddenness of it shocked me. Then I realized this was it. I needed to get moving. I was still disoriented and having a moment where I wondered if, hey, maybe all the humans were right for once and this was a terrible idea. But then I recognized a code string and snapped out of it. I was on board the Explorer in the comm system's receiving buffer. Right before the contact was cut, I pulled over my files from Art's partition. Now I needed some safe temporary storage. I used the protocols and proprietary code I'd pulled off the supply transport to put together headers for a test message packet, the kind a comm system would send internally to make sure all the connections were active. To the security system, it looked like a locally generated message, and I used it to slip me and my files through the filters. I could have forced my way in like the Palisade Killware had forced its way aboard the company gunship, but then they'd know I was here. There were a lot of ways for Killware to slip through a system's defenses, but if Art was certain target control system's initial attack hadn't come through the comm, how had it come aboard? Now that I was in, I hit the SEC system first. Something, presumably target control system, had wiped it down to the barely functional level, all its archived video and audio deleted. Think of it like finding yourself in a deserted transit ring, giant echoing embarkation halls and a mall with places for hostels and shops and offices, but all of it empty. Or not. I was software, so it really didn't look like that at all. I disguised myself as one of SEC system's maintenance processes and made a partition for my files. I fortified it, and that made me feel a little more secure. If I did start forgetting who I was, I could come back here to remember. Before I started tearing shit up, I needed to, one, get intel, two, find out if Art's crew were here, three, then figure out a plan to get them out. Yeah, I thought step three was going to be the tough one, too. I had eyes now, the SEC system's cameras. Barish Estranza's setup wasn't quite as physical privacy breeds trouble as my ex-owner Bond Company, but they were close. Flicking through the different views, I realized I was having trouble handling the influx of data and interpreting the images, even though I was borrowing processing space from the SEC system. Apparently, the organic parts of my brain were doing a lot more heavy lifting than I gave them credit for. But a lot of the camera inputs I could temporarily drop because they were showing me unoccupied cabins and corridors. I noted damaged hatches, bulkheads with signs of energy weapon impacts. The medical section had a dead target lying on the platform. It had been shot, messily, at least 3 times in the face and chest. Very unprofessional. I checked the main lock foyer and found more dead bodies. 2 target, the others all dead humans in Barish Estranza livery. Oh, and 1 armored sec unit with its head blown off. Was anybody alive on this ship? Then I checked the bridge and, yeah, there were the other targets. There were 8, sitting at the monitoring stations, anxiously watching the floating displays where a sensor blip represented Art's steady approach. They were much the same as our targets, except currently less dead, with the gray skin and skinny bodies. But while the others wore the full protective suits and helmets, one wore more casual human clothing. Dark green-black pants and jacket, and a black shirt with a collar. Their shoes had heavy treads, designed for rough planetary terrain. Their hair looked more normal, too, reddish-brown and tight curls, cut close to the head. They murmured something to another target, then picked up the same kind of solid-state tablet our targets had used. I felt something on the edge of Sec System's connection with the rest of the ship, something strange and familiar at the same time. Target control system was here. I wouldn't have much more time for gathering intel, so I went back to the cameras. I checked the lower crew quarters, finding more dead Barish Estranza crew, more signs of a firefight, and 2 more dead targets. Then I found a large recreational lounge with 7 inert human occupants. They had been dumped inside, sprawled on the floor, or the couches, in positions humans wouldn't have remained in voluntarily. With no drones, I couldn't get additional angles, but I could get close-up views from the camera. They all seemed to be breathing, just unconscious. No, wait. I spotted some faint muscle movement, eyelid twitches. They didn't look like humans who were asleep. Drugs would do this. Also, stasis fields used for crowd control. Implants, like the ones used on Elytra and Ross, might do it too. None of the humans were in combat gear, but 4 wore various versions of Barish Estranza uniform livery. The other 3... One wore a blue jacket, but the way he was curled against the wall, I couldn't see if it had the right logo. The other 2 were in casual clothing, 1 in the loose pants and t-shirt humans wore to exercise. They didn't look like corporate employees on the job. They looked like the crew of a ship that did deep space mapping and teaching with the occasional cargo run and or corporate colony liberation on the side, like they hadn't expected to leave their ship and had been caught by surprise. I collected what data I could and ran a quick query in my stolen storage space, checking it against the identifying information I had for Art's crew, trying to match weight, height, hair, skin combos. Result? An 80% chance that I was looking at Martin, Kareem, and Turi. But where were the others? I wasn't finding any other non-dead humans on board. The others might be in the piles of bodies where I couldn't get good images for visual identification. But these 3 were non-dead, and I was getting them back to Art no matter what I had to do. Now I just had to figure out how. I checked the corridor outside and realized I'd been so distracted by living humans that I'd missed the sec unit. It was stationary, still in full armor, standing apparently frozen near the door to the lounge. I checked its status in what was left of the sec system and saw it had been ordered to stand down and not move. With clients still alive in the lounge cabin, its governor module hadn't killed it. Yet. It was strange to see a sec unit from the outside. It wasn't like I had seen other sec units since Dr. Mensa bought me, but in this version of me, reality was raw and close to the surface, with no cushion between me and it. I remembered what it was like, standing, like this. It was all in the excerpted personal archive files I had with me. How helpless I was. Ugh. I really wanted to watch some media, but there was just no time. Having access to the media files helped, though. The SEC unit was an obvious resource. SEC units aren't affected by most kinds of killware, but I wasn't most kinds of killware. I knew I could take it over if I wanted to. I didn't want to. Right. So, let's try it this way. From my spot in the SEC system, I initiated a connection and put a freeze on the SEC unit's governor module so nothing I did would accidentally trigger it. I could tell I had the unit's attention, that it knew somebody had initiated contact. I sent it an old company identifier. System, system. Unit, acknowledge. This wasn't a company SEC unit. Its configuration was different, but I knew it would recognize the greeting as a protocol and not one associated with hostile alien remnant entities. After 4 long seconds, it replied, System unit acknowledge, identify? I could lie, say I was from Bearish Estranza. Face it, considering how often I accuse Art of lying, I lie a lot. I mean, a lot. But I didn't want to lie right now. I said, I'm a rogue SEC unit, working with the armed transport who is pursuing this ship with the intention of retrieving endangered clients. I am currently present as killware inside the Explorer's SEC system. It didn't reply. I can tell you as a SEC unit that under these circumstances, this is just about the last thing you expect to hear. Also, SEC units normally aren't allowed to communicate with each other, so it would be reluctant to drop protocol. I said, there's no protocol for any of this. Just talk to me. There was another 3-second pause. I don't know what to say. That was encouraging. I'm actually not being sarcastic here. The last time I tried to talk a SEC unit into helping me, it had just gotten more determined to kill me. But it had been a combat unit, and they're assholes. I said, 3 of my clients are inside the compartment nearest you. Have you seen these others? I showed it images of the unaccounted for members of Art's crew. It said, At this time, SEC system is non-functional, but I have video in my archive. It was way more comfortable giving information than figuring out what to say to a rogue SEC unit killware. It sent me 2 clips and then summarized them for me because it was used to reporting to humans who never understood what they were looking at. 8 unidentified humans were forcibly brought aboard by the hostiles, but 5 disembarked at approximately 2260 ship's time when we reconnected to the space dock. In the first clip, I watched Art's crew. All 8 of them, being dragged aboard through the airlock, most semi-conscious. The second clip was of a group of 5 being prodded off the ship into an airlock, and yeah, I had a bad moment there, but the ship's status in the metadata showed the SEC unit was right. The ship was connected to the dock at that point. Also, 4 targets followed them. I asked, "Do you know where they were taken?" This time it had an audio clip of 2 targets talking as they walked down the corridor past it. They were using that mix of pre-Corporation Rim languages that Tiago had identified, but a translation had been loaded to Hub System and the SEC unit had pulled it into its own archives. It summarized, "The hostiles implant humans with devices similar to our governor modules. They ran out of unused devices and returned to the space dock to send all humans without implants to the surface." I guess running out of implants made sense if you were a target, idiot, and hadn't been expecting to encounter Art or its crew. I said, "So all the humans in that cabin have implants, which are holding them immobile." "Correct." That was not great news, but it was helpful to know. "What other intel do you have about the hostiles?" It sent me another set of audio clips and explained, "They had difficulty installing an unidentified object to the Explorer's drive. The bot pilot was deleted and could not assist. Something disastrous happened and it has confused their plans. They needed a weapon to fight against future incursions to this system, but the attempt to obtain one failed badly. I played the clips to confirm the SEC unit's conclusions and checked the camera views of the ship's drive just to make sure. Oh yeah, that looked bad. They had the same sort of alien remnant that had burned itself off Art's drive and melted, only this one was hanging to the side and looked puffy. The engine casings were discolored on top, and the monitoring stations threw a steady stream of error codes into the engineering feed. So, to summarize, the targets had botched the install of their alien remnant drive onto the Explorer's engines, leaving the Explorer no longer wormhole capable. Also, the group assigned to Art had lost control of it, and now a giant armed transport was roaming the system, implacably searching for vengeance. The SEC unit continued, "Note, hostiles have fought among themselves while on board, suggesting they are split into at least two factions, a situation that can be exploited in order to retrieve clients." It fed me more info, mostly conversations picked up in corridors and the bridge via SEC systems cameras. I agreed with the analysis. It looked like there were different factions in the target's leadership, with different goals. One group didn't know what to do, how to follow their plan, until they got Art back. Another group, possibly still on the surface, wanted to cut their losses and do something else. I said, "They keep talking about spreading something to other humans. Are they referencing the alien remnant contamination?" The SEC unit said, "I'm sorry. I don't have that information." Huh. We had always thought that somehow the implants, even though they seemed like boring old human tech, were connected to alien remnant contamination. This sure didn't disprove that theory, but I still needed more intel. The SEC unit said, "Query, do you have intel on SEC Unit 2's position, situation?" I had a bad feeling I knew the answer to that question. What was SEC Unit 2's last contact? "Last contact was on space dock with the client tactical squad. Contact was lost. SEC Unit 1 was destroyed when the hostiles breached the hatch." It hesitated 1.2 seconds and added, "I am SEC Unit 3. I really wanted to lie. I'd seen that SEC unit in Art's status update before I deployed, but I wanted it to trust me, so I had to tell it the truth. I said, "The targets left SEC Unit 2 on the space dock after forcing one of your clients to order a stand down and freeze. It was killed by its governor module." It didn't respond. Then it said, "Thank you for that information." I had one of the mostly dead SEC systems inputs monitoring the bridge and had picked up a brief conversation. Running it through the translation module told me it was a discussion about how to make engine failure look convincing. The targets couldn't contact Art to tell it about the hostages, so they wanted Art to catch the Explorer and dock with it. That way they could use its crew to force it to surrender. I asked SEC Unit 3, "Is the shuttle's bot pilot still active?" I hadn't been able to find it, but maybe it was hiding. "It was destroyed, but I have a piloting module," it added. "It's not very good." That it was willing to admit that to me was a good sign. "If I can free the humans, can you get them into the shuttle and away? The transport following us will pick you up." This was hard to ask. Trusting other SEC units was impossible when you knew humans could order them to do anything. Trusting a SEC unit another rogue SEC unit was trying to make into a rogue was worse, even if you were one of the rogues involved. I was glad my threat assessment module was back in my body because it would have metaphorically shit itself. It didn't respond, and I said, "Will you help me retrieve the humans?" "My governor module is holding me in stand-down-and-freeze mode," it said, still polite and not pointing out the fact that I should know it would move if it could, and how teeth-grittingly obvious that was. I'd been investigating possibilities with the SEC system, trying to see if I could make it override the governor module and rescind the order. I'd have to do a restart and reload first, and there was no way to do that surreptitiously. Target control system would know something, somebody, was in the system. Also, taking orders from, making friends with, a rogue SEC unit killware definitely fell under the category of stuff SEC units are not allowed to do, and the governor module might fry it anyway. That left only one option, and me trying to gently hint about it wasn't working. "I can disable your governor module," I said. I'm not good at this kind of thing. Even Mensa was not good at this kind of thing, considering what happened when she bought me. I just knew it had to be SEC Unit 3's decision. "I'll do that, whether you help me or not." But that was too much too soon, and I knew that as soon as I said it. It gave me a stock answer from its buffer. "I don't have that information." Right. I wouldn't have been eager to believe me either. I needed a different approach. We didn't have time for me to show it 35,000 hours of media, and I didn't have access to my long-term storage anyway. And that had worked on me, but I knew I was weird, even for a SEC unit. Maybe it would trust me more if it knew me better. I pulled some recent memories from the files I'd brought with me, edited them together, and added one helpful code bundle at the end. : send helpme.file, : read this. It accepted the file, but didn't respond. I switched my awareness back to the unfamiliar channels woven through the ship's systems. Most of the standard architecture had been overwritten. I was cautious because, as far as I could tell, Target control system didn't know I was here yet. I left a few code bundles in strategic places, including in the set of 12 Target drones waiting in standby near the main hatch. I checked the bridge control systems and found the code they had used to mask their approach from Art's scans. Art was right. It was similar to the code that had protected the targets from my drones, and not nearly as effective as the physical shielding the Target drones used. I altered a few key parameters to keep the targets from using it on the ship again. I knew, had strong evidence for, the fact that the targets had activated Elytra's and Ross's implants via the solid-state screen that was similar to the one in use in the Explorer's bridge. If it was using the implants to keep the humans immobile, there should be an active connection. But I was going to have to get uncomfortably close to Target control system, whose existence on this Explorer was so far mostly theoretical. If mostly theoretical meant tripping over the huge path of destruction where it had slammed through the ship's systems. I knew which channel the solid-state screen had used on board Art, and checked it first. There they were, 7 connections. Now, I had to do this without killing any of the humans. I separated out the individual pathways and gave one a gentle tweak. In the lounge, one of the humans twitched. So far, so good. If I cut the implant connections before a target could send a command through the screen, would they wake up? The one thing I knew was that if I didn't do it fast enough, the target could hit a kill switch and send them into cardiac arrest, like what had happened with Ross. Losing one human like that had been frustrating enough. Losing 7, including what might be all that was left of Art's crew, was just not going to happen. I reconnected with the SEC unit and said, "I found the connection to the implants that are holding the humans immobile. If you could help me, we could retrieve all the clients." Something was coming, and I broke the connection. Just in time, because 0.05 seconds later, Target control system found me. Chapter 15. I stopped my show and woke my drones as the Dropbox maintenance capsule sent an arrival alert through its local feed. It had been decelerating already, but now it was braking to enter the surface docking structure. I'd been checking feed and comm for any kind of signal contacts, but I couldn't pick up anything but what was coming from the capsule itself. The downside of that was no information. The upside was that if the surface dock's feed and arrival notification system were down, Maybe nobody knew we were coming. And it was uncomfortably similar to when Amina and I had first come aboard Art, to an apparently dead feed. And yes, I was scanning the ranges associated with target control system, but nothing was there either.
We're here.
Oversay shifted in her seat, edgy with nervous energy. Tiago sat up and said,
Good timing. I just finished the preliminary module.
Oversay snorted.
I don't know how you can work under these conditions. It gives me something else to think about.
Tiago made a move to rub his face and bonked his glove on his helmet.
I used to work on language puzzles before my exams at first landing.
Tano thought I was out of my mind.
Considering what we're doing at the moment, I don't think Tano was wrong, Oversay told him.
Tiago said, Sec unit, and I thought, oh great, what now? Then he finished,
I've been assembling a working vocabulary module of the languages the targets are using. Without perihelion to translate for us, it could come in handy.
Well, now I feel like an asshole. I pulled the module out of his feed and stored it as the capsule braked, jerked twice, then clanked as it dropped into its docking slot. Its local feed signaled arrival, and Oversay hurriedly used the manual controls to switch it over to standby. I was already unstrapping and pushing out of the seat. I stepped over to the hatch and stopped it as it was about to slide open. The capsule was showing a good environment outside and a gravity within acceptable parameters, but I was glad we had the environmental suits. I let the hatch open just a notch and sent a drone out. Outside was a corridor, walls, floor, and ceiling made of sandy stone with metal support girders. Not actual stone, but an artificial building material that looked like it. Round light sources studded the girders at intervals, but there was no power. The drone followed it out to a foyer with a taller ceiling, with round windows set high in what had to be an outside wall, letting in gray daylight. Racks and cabinets and an unused workbench lined the other walls. A thin layer of dust on the floor said this area hadn't been disturbed in a long time, and also indicated that somewhere in this structure was an opening to the outside where there was actual dirt. The door wasn't a pressure hatch. It was a manually operated metal sliding door. Oversay and Tiago had gotten to their feet, watching me. I sent the drone's video to their interfaces and said, Stay here. I'm going to take a look around. Don't use the suit comms. I was setting up a feed relay through my drones, which should be secure, but I didn't want to press my luck. Even though there's no signal traffic, they might still have a way to monitor comms. Oversay pressed her lips together. She clearly didn't like the idea of separating the group, but didn't argue.
Be careful. Don't go too far without us.
Are you sure you should go alone?
Tiago didn't look happy either. All the concern was annoying, which was me being complacent or unfair or something, considering how humans being worried about me possibly going off alone to die was such a recent development in my life. I just said I won't be long, and let the hatch open the rest of the way. I left two drones with the humans and brought the rest with me down the corridor into the foyer to catch up with the scout drone. The absence of any kind of feed signal was still eerie, but if the surface dock wasn't being used, it sort of made sense. A quick check showed lots of tools and maintenance supplies stored in the cabinets, neatly put away and barely used. I couldn't pick up anything on audio except the low grumbling of the capsule's powertrain in its deactivation cycle. I eased the door open along its track, which thankfully did not screech, and let a squad of five drones out. I got views of wide, high-ceiling corridors made of the manufactured stone. A few of the flat light pads on the girders were lit, so there must be emergency power somewhere. The drone scan found marker paint exit signs on the walls and nothing nearby on audio. No machine or human movement, no voices. I slipped out the door and followed the drones. Two more turns and the drones found a wide exterior sliding door that was partially open. I got drone video of what was outside, but I wanted to see it myself, so I sent them back into the interior corridors to keep scouting and went outside. From the map I'd pulled up on the space dock, the surface dock was a big oval structure built around the shaft. I walked out onto a long stone balcony, sand grating under my boots, about 3 stories off the ground, looking out to the west. The sky was overcast with puffy gray clouds, but the view was clear. I was looking at a lake, shallow and glassy, curving away from the looming wall of the dock. A wide causeway led off from the far side of the building, crossing the lake toward another set of 3 large structures, maybe 2 kilometers away, a complex big enough to dwarf the dock. The buildings were multi-story, trapezoidal, made out of a gray material, and arranged in a half circle around a raised plaza in the center where the causeway ended. They had rib-like supports curving up from their bases that might be decorative, or maybe for power generating. I had no idea. To the east, around the front of the surface dock, was a sea of green plants, fronds waving in the breeze. Increasing magnification as much as I could, I saw a structure under the greenery, probably growing racks supporting the growth medium off the ground, full of water and whatever else plants needed. What the hell kind of colony was this? A figure stood up out of the plants suddenly, almost 10 meters tall and covered with spikes. It's a good thing I don't have a full human digestive system, because I was so startled something would have popped out of it involuntarily. Before I could fling myself back through the doors, I realized it was an agricultural bot. Its lower body had 10 long, spidery limbs for moving around without crushing anything, and its upper part was a long, curving neck with a long head and, like I said, covered with spikes. Agricultural bots have the statistically lowest chance of accidental injuries, but are physically the most terrifying. It's weird how something designed to take care of delicate life forms looks the most like it wants to tear you apart and eat your humans. Anyway, back to what I was saying. What the hell kind of colony was this? It wasn't the plants or the ag bots. That was normal. Plants could be engineered to do a lot of things for colonies, like produce gases or other chemicals. But for one thing, the complex didn't resemble the adamantine colony plans, not at all. And you would expect everything to be more messy and human, with things under construction, piles of materials, temporary habitat structures, or the remains of temporary habitat structures that had been stripped to build permanent structures. No air or ground vehicles were visible, no boats or docks on the lake, no trash. This place looked simultaneously abandoned, but well cared for. Like, whatever it was being used for, it wasn't meant for humans to live in. I sent images to Oversay and Tiago, and there were stunned exclamations. Indicating the complex with the weird ribs, I asked, "Is that an alien structure?" It was the obvious question. "No, it couldn't be," Oversay said, but she sounded like she wasn't certain. Tiago said, "I agree. That looks too usable for humans to be an authentic ruin. It also looks too old to have been built by the adamantine colonists. I have seen reports claiming that groups compulsively constructing unusual structures is an early symptom of remnant contamination. It could have been built by the pre-CR colonists under the influence of the remnants." That was probably right. Intrepid hero explorers found alien ruins all the time in shows like World Hoppers, but in reality it was more like what happened to transports that got trapped in endless wormhole journeys. Nobody knew what happened or what anything looked like because everybody involved died. The compulsive construction thing sounded really creepy, though. Tiago added, "It could also just be an early pre-corporation rim structure of a style that we don't recognize."
That's probably what the adamantine colonists thought before they got eaten, or turned into liquid, or whatever. The Agbot took another step, bending its neck down into the plants. I didn't see any humans or targets, but there were definitely power sources here because I was picking up some interference on my scan that indicated something like large-scale air barriers in operation. Rati had mentioned they might be in use to keep the colony's atmosphere contained, so that made sense. My drone had found the end of the dock structure and got a view of the far side, which was a flat valley, punctuated with angular rock formations sticking up out of the ground randomly. The dock and the drop shaft must be on a plateau, and this was the edge. Reddish-brown, scrubby grass dotted with bits of brighter red covered everything that wasn't rock or dirt, the colors brilliant even under the overcast sky. There was a long, straight, obviously artificial canal that came out of the base of the plateau somewhere below and ran off toward the rising hills some distance away. The light wind came from that direction, ruffling the grass. There was no sign of other buildings. Maybe Tiago was right and the complex was from the pre-Corporation Rim colony. If it was, their budget must have been big enough to make the company break out in greed sweat. All that currency and none of it going for bonds. If they had gotten company bonds, at least somebody might have been around to say, hey, maybe we should go, when they encountered the toxic alien remnants or whatever else it was they had encountered. And where was everybody? My drone sent me an alert, and I checked their inputs. They were picking up ambient audio, voices echoing against manufactured stone and projectile weapon fire. Oh, that's where everybody was. The audio bounced off the walls and obscured its direction of origin. Without the drones, I wouldn't have been able to get close without being spotted. The standoff was toward the center of the dock, in the main dropbox loading chamber. With the map I'd downloaded from the space dock, I found a ramp to the upper levels, past corridors and doorways to empty rooms, out to an open gallery level overlooking the dark arrival chamber. It wasn't a great spot for a sniper, even with the cover of the low safety wall. The angles were bad, and I had to send my drones down to the embarkation floor to get a good look at who was fighting who. With the power down, the space was shadowy, and someone had already shot out the big overhead emergency lights in the curved ceiling. The dropbox chamber was bigger than the one on the station, with wide girders forming high arches over the foyer in front of the giant safety hatches. They were closed, blocking off the box's now empty landing zone. Doorways on the west side of the chamber had groups of targets clustered in the shadowed archways, yelling, ducking back into cover, and taking shots at another smaller group on a broad balcony on the upper level on the east side, to my right. Several dead targets were scattered across the floor in front of the drop box hatches. Yes, those were definitely targets down there. But many still had characteristics that made it way more obvious that they were humans who had been physically altered, like body types other than the tall, skinny, alien chic look of the targets who had taken over art. Most wore the kind of rough work clothing normal for colonies or mining, a cheaper, more battered version of art's environment suits with hoods, but no breathing gear, or a mix of plain work clothes, plus a random collection of what looked like old uniforms and protective gear. That made it hard to see faces, but the drones identified a whole group where the gray skin coloring was obviously some kind of progressive condition and not a natural or cosmetic effect. Interestingly, the ones who were more obviously altered humans weren't all fighting on the same side. I didn't spot any of the distinctive target weapons. They used projectile weapons without logos that looked badly hand-assembled out of spare parts, and I noted one weapon that had probably come from the Barish Estranza contact party. With everybody running around so much I couldn't get an accurate count, but there were at least 100 targets scattered through here, and ambient audio suggested more fighting in the corridors to the east. No sign of target drones, but below the east side balcony, I spotted debris that might be drone remnants. So this all looked like a big mess, but it told me two things. One, the theory about the targets being colonists who had been exposed to alien remnant contamination was probably correct. We had been around 82% certain of that, but it was nice to take it all the way up to 96+. And two, they had at least two factions who didn't get along at all. But if Art's crew had arrived in the drop box while this was going on, I didn't like their chances. I didn't see any dead humans, but if they had gotten captured again, this was going to be way harder than I'd hoped. But my drones were finding a lot of cubbies and possible hiding spots along the walls below my position, like openings to cargo storage spaces, another doorway that the map said ran under this balcony and toward the exterior of the dock, a dispatch corral designed for an older model of hauler bot, an entrance to a lift pod lobby. Wait. There we go. A decorative glass rock wall curved out away from the open door to the lift pod lobby, and around the side of that wall, a figure crouched. The angle was bad, but I could see an arm resting on the glass, and it was dark brown, wearing a decorative woven bracelet. The pushed-up sleeve of the t-shirt was a light blue. None of those things suggested a target. If you had just arrived in a drop box and found a bunch of targets fighting, or about to fight a pitched battle on the embarkation floor, you might run toward the obvious lift pod lobby. Then you'd discover the power was out and the lift pods were inactive, and you'd accidentally got yourself pinned down. I sent a drone in for a closer look. It got a good image of the human crouched behind the glass.